We come to a fascinating part of Genesis that sort of is an interesting passage to try to preach. Normally we like to go verse by verse with an exposition of verse by verse, seeing the principles that are taught, understanding how they apply. But this is a story. It's an ongoing story of a group of brothers, some brothers who years before had thought of killing one of their brothers that they became very jealous of because the father gave him such a beautiful coat. These brothers have been through 20 plus years. Consciences must have bothered them some, as we'll see in some of the indications in the account over the next few weeks. And yet it's a story, a true story. Jacob and his family, all of Rings, Bald, and JJZ. You remember that, don't you? Reuben, Issachar, Naphtali, Gad, Simeon, Benjamin, Asher, Levi, Dan, Joseph, Judah, and Zebulun, the 12 sons of Jacob. Remember with a little mnemonic. Rings, R-I-N-G-S, Bald, B-A-L-D, and J-J-Z. Now, isn't that ridiculous? There's no Bible verse for that, but it's a good way to help remember those names. We're going to drop in on that story in chapter 43. I'm going to read verses 15 through 34. I invite you to follow along as we see what happens in the next adventure of the sons of Jacob. Genesis chapter 43, sort of getting right in the middle and beginning at verse 15. So the men took this present, and they took double the money in their hand, and Benjamin. Then they arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his house steward, "Bring the men into the house and slay an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon." So the man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time that we're being brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall on us and take us for slaves with our donkeys." So they came to Joseph's house steward and spoke to him at the entrance of the house and said, "Oh my Lord, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. And it came about when we came to the lodging place that we opened our sacks and behold, each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full. So we have brought it back in our hand. We've also brought down other money in our hand to buy food. We don't know who put the money in our sacks." He said, "Be at ease. Don't be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I have your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. Then the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys fodder. So they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that they were to eat a meal there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand, and bowed to the ground before him, and he asked them about their welfare, and said, "Is your old father well, of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." They bowed down in homage. As he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he said, "Is this your youngest brother, of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he controlled himself and said, "Serve the meal." So they served him by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Now they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at each other in astonishment. He took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Wow. What an interesting story. Now there's more to come. It'll be continued next week. But just this little part of the story shows us some tremendous insight, not only into Joseph's character, but into the character of God, as we'll see.
Oh, speak, Lord, in the stillness of these moments,
as we wait on Thee. Touch our hearts, Father, with Your Word in a way that only You can do, through the abiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. Guide us into truth. Encourage us. Motivate us, Father. And may we be challenged to give thanks for Your grace and Your love, as we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I find something exciting about reunions. Do you ever have a family reunion? Some of you have had one of those 50th class reunions. Had one man tell me recently that he was going to his 50th class reunion. He knew it had to be that year because he counted up from his graduation certificate and found that, yes, that this was the 50th anniversary. But he couldn't find any notice of where the reunion was going to be. He finally was able to contact the school. And the school said, what reunion? There's no 50th anniversary this year. There is the anniversary date, but there's no reunion because as far as we can find out, there's only two left. Do you happen to be? And then they named his name. And he says, that's me. Well, we can't find the other one. So if you want to come for reunion, it'll just be you by yourself. Out of a class of 125. Fascinating. And he said, I'm the only one. I remember family reunions that were really great. We used to meet at a big park in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I have to tell you honestly, the main reason I really liked that reunion was not just getting to see all of the various relatives, but the chocolate fudge and the pimento cheese sandwiches were wonderful. Some of you look at me very funny when I say that, but I have to tell you, in those days, because of asthma, I was allergic to pimento cheese, and I was allergic to fudge. And my mom was very insistent that I didn't eat any until reunion. And I thought, what she doesn't know won't hurt her. It sure hurt me, because every year I'd have an asthma attack after family reunion. And Mom finally figured it out. And the next year she followed me and made sure I didn't take any pimento cheese and no chocolate fudge. Oh, it just ruined the reunion in one sense. But going back for a family reunion, imagine a reunion that you go to all the way from Canaan down to Egypt. And in the process of trying to get food for your family, things begin to happen. And it's the story that we find here in Genesis chapter 43. From Joseph's perspective, it's a long-awaited reunion. The brothers don't know who he is yet. They haven't recognized him. They are caught up in all this business of money being put back in their sacks and that they're going to get accused and maybe get arrested and who knows what else may take place. But we find them getting all together, all the way from Canaan, back to Egypt. To help you understand a little bit of this whole passage, not only today's message, but next week's, I want you to notice what happens in these two sections, all the way from Genesis 43 to 45, three whole chapters. In the first part of chapter 43, which we've already seen, Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt. And you'll recall that they returned home to Canaan and discovered those things in the sack. And Jacob was really upset about it. And he said, oh, you got to take this back. In fact, take double the money. Your money is inside the sack. And we got to do something. And you've got to buy us some more grain. And they were told, no, we can't go back without taking Benjamin. I've already been bereaved of one son. I don't want to be bereaved again. But then he finally gives in. And in verses 15 through 25, which we read today, they arrive in Egypt and they meet with Joseph, not knowing that this is the brother that they had sold into captivity. It winds up being a little time that the brothers are arrested, we'll see next week. They think things were bad, then all of a sudden they get arrested, and following the arrest, they meet again with Joseph and find out who he is. They are afraid that he'll probably take their lives. They don't understand his transition, as it were, to a man of grace, to a man of forgiveness. Then they leave Egypt and go all the way back to Canaan and come back to Jacob again. Notice the parallelisms in the way the chapters are divided. Right in the center is the arrest of the brothers in chapter 44. But on either side we find this meeting with Jacob, then being sent down to Egypt and meeting with Joseph, and then Joseph sends them back to bring the father and the whole family. Well, let's talk a little bit about what happens when they return. And when they go back, when Jacob finally allows Benjamin to return with the brothers. But interesting to note how Jacob operates. He operates the way they do in that part of the world. These gifts, by the way, could be translated bribes. Trying to do enough of giving of stuff that they will be rescued, that things will be okay, that they can have forgiveness. It's just like what man wants to do. And God says, no. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life, and it rests in Jesus Christ, in believing and in trusting in Him, not on the gifts or the money or the talents or the other things that you may try to give. Jacob finally allows Benjamin to go back. Imagine how tough that must have been. Now, you realize, of course, that Benjamin is a full brother. The others are stepbrothers. Only Joseph and Benjamin had the same mother. Jacob had other wives and had the other children by other wives. And so Joseph and Benjamin were very close because of being both full brothers. But Jacob allows Benjamin to go back. And when they get back, and we get all the way to verse 16, and we have an interesting thing as Joseph has been awaiting their coming. And notice it says that seeing Benjamin. When Joseph saw Benjamin, he decides to have a banquet. And he calls his steward in and has the steward, the one who was the household manager, he comes to see that everything is prepared. These men are going to dine with me at noon. So the man did, verse 17, as Joseph said, and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now, it's interesting to get the perspective of all of these men. They're not asked to give an explanation. They're not asked to do or to say anything. But notice how quickly they say that they were afraid. They're afraid because they're being taken to the house of the ruler. They thought this is it. We've been caught. They came near, verse 19, to Joseph's house steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. And they said, "Oh, my Lord, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. And we opened our sacks and we found all this money. And behold, it was in our bags, our money in full. We brought it back in our hand. We've also brought down other money in our hand to buy food. We don't know who put the money in." There's a very valuable lesson in all of that. Isn't it interesting how your sins find you out? Here were ones that had done what they had done in lying to their father about Joseph in the first place. And now here they're going to try to cover up by buying their way out, just like they had done when they tried to report on Joseph being taken and killed by a wild animal. And now they're found out. Their conscience is beginning to bother them. And they give a very uneasy kind of explanation in verses 18 through 22. Think of the fear. Maybe even some anger. They don't know that this is Joseph. They don't know that it's Joseph's house. They haven't been introduced to him as yet. And yet they've been invited to come to a dinner in the house of the ruler. And it would have been well known, if you got invited to the house of the ruler, there's something serious going on. Either you've done something really important or you've done something really bad. And so they tried to give this explanation. What an interesting picture. But when you notice verses 23 and 24, I thought it was very fascinating that the steward brings up God. Interesting. The household manager. Verse 23, "Be at ease, don't be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks." I know where your money is. No problem. And he brought out Simeon, the one that the ruler had kept for them while he sent them back to Canaan before. Now imagine how that must have made him feel. Being told that they know about the money. They've even got the money, no problem. And now finding out about this fact that the steward knows, and he uses the term of God, "Your God did this? The God of your father did this?" They should be giving thanks, not finding excuses, or not trying to find their way out of what they think is going to be a penalty. What a portrait of grace we have shown here, and how God uses grace often to try to bring repentance, as Romans chapter 2 describes. They get a warm, hospitable greeting. And Simeon, he's alive. They thought maybe he'd been sent out to slave camp somewhere. They didn't know where he was, but he is released. He probably had gained some weight, being on good food. But now here it is. What a surprise. I can almost hear the brothers saying, "What gives? How could all of this take place?" So they are escorted into Joseph's house. Not just sent there, not just any house, but to the ruler's house. A portrait of grace. A portrait of God's unmerited favor, even on these deceiving brothers. So now they're together at last. And the scripture describes it, when Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand. And what did Joseph say? "Where have you guys been? What is this? What's all this money? What are you doing, mean, taking all this money from us?" That's where their concern was. But notice where Joseph is. Joseph is on a totally different dimension, a totally different perspective. When he came home, he said to them, "How's your old father? Is he well?" He asked them about their welfare. Is your father still alive? And they said, your father is well. He's still alive. And they bowed down in homage. First time they have been in Joseph's presence in over 20 years. Joseph may have been approaching 39 by this time. Benjamin's late 20s, early 30s. And here we are at this point in the story. And Joseph sees Benjamin. And immediately seeing Benjamin, he says to him a word of blessing. May God be gracious to you, my son. At this point, Benjamin doesn't know this is Joseph. Neither do the brothers. But Joseph announces a blessing on him. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine those brothers who are there on a mission to try to get more grain and hopefully get their brother back and try to get the issue settled about the money that had been stashed away in their bags that they didn't really steal? It's fascinating that when Joseph looks at the situation, he can't take it. He weeps. And he has to rush out, according to verse 30. He hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother. He sought a place to weep, and he entered his chamber and wept there. When he comes back, he orders a meal to be served. Now, you've got to think about this in a little bit, especially because of the report. They make mention of the fact in giving us the account here in Genesis that when they served, they made sure it was after they had washed the face and washed their feet. The meal was served, and it was served in a special order. They served him because he was in his chamber at this point in time. He was served by himself, and then they served the brothers. And the Egyptians who ate with him were served because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews. That was something that was considered loathsome to the Egyptians. Whatever the reason or whatever the culture, the men are looking at each other in a very astonished way when they realize that they were seated with the oldest down to the youngest. 11 brothers. Now, some of you mathematicians, how many different seating arrangements could you make for 11 people and seating them in a different order each time? And think of the possibilities of just by chance getting them from oldest to youngest. No wonder they looked at each other and were astonished, because going through their minds, how does he know? What else does this guy know about us? He knows about the money. He's got the money and he hasn't arrested us. He did release Simeon. Now, seating us in the proper order. There was fellowship around the table as they are seated by age, and the guests are fed from Joseph's table. Also, a practice that was not common unless you were special royalty to the one who was serving. And even as they are fed, we marvel over the fact that Benjamin is giving a lavish serving. What does that make you think? Benjamin, Joseph's full brother. Why was Joseph in Egypt in the first place? Because his dad gave him a multicolored jacket that caused the other brothers to be jealous. We didn't get that nice a jacket. So here, another beautiful extension of God's grace to stir up repentance. How do you think the brothers first reacted when they saw Benjamin getting 5 times as much? I've watched some of us at table, and when somebody goes around and they serve those little things at the table, you know, and you've got your dessert, and I have seen people sit there before the rest of the people arrive and switch the dessert so they put the larger one on their place and get somebody else the smaller one. And here Benjamin is given a lavish serving. Once again, a portrait of God's grace. Think about the words of Isaiah. It sort of brings a practical lesson home to us. The Lord longs to be gracious to you and to me. Therefore, He waits on high to have compassion. He is showing a compassion. They don't realize it yet. They're going to in the subsequent messages. They don't realize the compassion that He's showing, but they point out that the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Or another good verse that's a practical lesson. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience? Look at the examples of kindness and tolerance and patience that have been shown through Joseph to these brothers so far. In relation to the grain, in relation to the money, in relation to the meal, in relation to what they've done, or what has been done with Benjamin. Do you not know that the kindness of God leads to repentance? Romans 2, verse 4. Powerful reminders of God's grace. Now think about it. We didn't have to have all these verses here. We didn't have to have all of this story told. Joseph could have told his brothers the very first time he saw them, "Hey, I'm your brother Joseph." And whatever else he might have wanted to tell them. But by waiting, he was giving them a portrait of God's patience. You can't help but ask by application, how long will God be patient to us as a nation? God still is extending His hand of grace. Are we ready to repent as a nation? To turn from the sinful ways and to trust Him? To believe Him? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience? Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Do we have a vertical perspective? As we saw last week, Jacob had a negative, horizontal, fearful, and it just continues as of this point. Some things are going to happen later. But Joseph is our man. He's the one that shows the integrity and the vertical, trusting in God. And he's used as an instrument of grace in the hand of God to minister to those brothers. Someone has well said, it's only when we stop running that we find rest in Him. It's only when we stop running that we find rest in Him. The brothers are going to find that rest. Even Jacob is going to have a transformation, and we'll see it later. But it all comes back to how God was demonstrating His grace, even in this part of the story. Thinking about what we've talked about with the Lord's Supper and then what has happened to these brothers reminds me of Psalm 57 as a fitting way to conclude. I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to You among the nations, for Your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and Your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let Your glory be over all the earth. And He invites us to come to Him. Come to Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Father, we thank you for your word and for its relevance and even for the stories that you have inspired and preserved for us to show us your grace and your love and your power. Thank you for the reminder that we've had as we share in the Lord's Supper together that Jesus paid it all. He took care of everything, just as he did with the work of those brothers. Even as the Egyptian steward saw it, God had made the provision. We pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and motivate us to give attention to your grace and to respond, that where there is repentance needed, we might confess our sin and know the forgiveness that you provide through faith in Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you as we pray in Jesus' name.